KNOM Update News. I'm Lorelei Kinnean, and it's 9:02. Federal responders say it's too early to know what caused the commuter plane to crash in Southwest Alaska Friday night, killing four people and injuring another six on board. The National Transportation Safety Board is investigating the crash of the Hagland Aviation Cessna 208, 1 mile southeast of St. Mary's. The pilot and three passengers were killed. Six passengers survived. Five were listed in fair condition Monday at Anchorage hospitals. The sixth survivor has been treated and released. Investigators with the NTSB and the Federal Aviation Administration arrived Sunday to the wreckage site. Clint Johnson, chief of the NTSB's Alaska Regional Office, says the goal is to document the wreckage before moving the plane to Anchorage or Bethel. Hundreds of dead seabirds washed up on the shores of St. Lawrence Island toward the end of November. Gay Sheffield is the Marine Advisory Program agent at UAF's Northwest Campus in Nome. She was sent samples of the birds after they started showing up November 20th on beaches near Savunga.
So three birds were sent in right away on the day that the birds were washing in. And the three birds were an auklet, a murre, and a northern fulmar, which is like an offshore seagull.
No one knows yet what caused so many birds to die out at sea. And to make matters more confusing, most of the species recovered on St. Lawrence Island have usually migrated south by mid-November. Sheffield says people in Gamble and Savunga began contacting her immediately once they found birds washing ashore in high numbers.
They packaged up the birds, some good samples, whole birds that were freshly dead, and put them in a cooler, and they sent them COD into Nome. The three birds that were sent in from Savunga have been sent to the National Wildlife Health Center, and they will get us some results later this week.
The most likely explanation for so many birds dying off is weather. Sheffield thinks that the unseasonably warm fall might have kept migratory species like murres and auklets from heading south on schedule. The birds were from several different species, and most were well-fed and young, making sickness an unlikely culprit. Instead, violent winds and a rapid onset of frigid temperatures was probably what killed so many of the animals. According to Sheffield, the fast response by residents of St. Lawrence Island is part of a strengthening regional self-sufficiency when it comes to handling environmental crises.
The region has, because we've had a series of unfortunate events, scares with sick seals, oiled seals, and whatnot, a regional response has provided the most rapid interface with the medical community. We're able to get the word to the laboratories in the major hubs.
And in the last few years, regional offices have relied on local residents for news of sick wildlife. The partnerships and lines of communication developed amid those events are especially important as federal money and resources for environmental response are diminishing. A rapid reaction is essential because the seabirds washing ashore, like the sick seals, are part of the regional food system. Sick animals can mean sick humans if they're consumed, and with less agencies monitoring potentially dangerous contaminants and environmental hazards, residents in Bush, Alaska are effectively forced to become their own first responders.
I think that community members in our region have done a fantastic job responding to these unusual situations by taking photographs, becoming involved, reporting, demanding they get results. All that is really proactive and is best way we can move forward, I think, is to focus our energies regionally, look at our resources that we have amongst ourselves, and keep working together and keep demanding that you get results.
Anyone who finds dead seabirds washed onto beaches should call Gay Sheffield at 1-855-443-2397 or call the number at the bottom of sick seal posters that are already available in coastal communities. And on Saturday, a number of groups from Nome and the Bering Straits region put on Kati Luta, a celebration marking the end of Alaska Native and Native American Heritage Month. The Savunga drummers and dancers were one of the four groups to perform Saturday evening. Katiluta started with a potluck in the Nome Rec Center. Afterwards, performances lasted late into the evening, ending with the King Island and Dime drummers and dancers. Mariah Salafi is the executive vice president of the Bering Straits Foundation, the nonprofit education arm of the Bering Straits Native Corporation. Salafi helped organize Saturday's event and says Katiluta is about recognizing Nome's unique confluence of cultural traditions.
The Native community here in Nome is very diverse, and we wanted to host an event that would bring the entire community together to celebrate those various cultures.
The Methodist Inupiaq Choir performed, as well as the St. Lawrence Island Yupik group from Savunga. Originally, the Stebbins Dance Group was slated to represent the Yupik community, but last-minute difficulties kept them from making it this year. Salafi says one of her favorite parts of the evening was watching the Nome Belts High School Cultural Dance Group perform.
It really is very heartening to see young people who they sort of run their own dance group. They do have some adults that are mentoring them, but they kind of do it on their own, and it's really wonderful to see them performing.
The Katiluta celebration was the culmination of efforts made by an array of local groups as well as numerous individual community members. For Salafi, celebrations like Katiluta are as much about enacting specific cultural practices as they are about fostering partnerships among the organizations and communities in Nome.
Success to me is people enjoying themselves, people getting to take part in the drumming and dancing and sharing of food. And success would be us sort of collaborating on more events and perhaps more programs in the community that we'll hopefully see throughout the year.
In Nome, Heritage Month also included a week-long dialogue on the historic cultural traumas experienced by Alaska Natives. The Nome Social Justice Task Force commissioned Jim LaBelle, an Alaska Native Studies professor at the University of Alaska Anchorage, to lead the discussion. To learn more about this conversation, tune in to Profiles Today after the 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. weather. It's currently 9 minutes after 9 o'clock.